What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, man, MG Marcus Grant, socially distancing away from the Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. And Fabs, I know we usually start with some sort of like weird happy chat kind of thing. That feels weird doing that today. I know for people who listen to this show regularly, you probably have our schedule down. We usually do shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays, a couple times a week. It's obviously Wednesday now. This is, just to let you know, this is our show for the week. We're not going to have a second show this week. It was a thing that we sort of discussed amongst ourselves. Obviously, to say this has been a tumultuous week is a grand understatement. That there are things obviously going on in the country and in the world that are certainly way larger than all of us. I know it has been for a lot of people a really difficult week. So we sort of had the conversation about, you know, understanding that fantasy football for a lot of people is a distraction, is a way to take your mind off of a lot of the really unpleasant, ugly things that are going on out there. But at the same time, we also felt like there are times when it's better for us to maybe just shut the hell up and let some other conversations happen. But having said all that, we all still work for the National Football League. We still do have a job. We still wanted to get something out, because if for the next, you know, 20, 30 minutes, this does help take your mind off of some of the ugliness in the world, then we've provided a service. So that's pretty much all I had to say about it. I don't know. Other than that, it's, you know, we're a fantasy podcast and that's what we do.
So. Yeah. Listen, fantasy football is trivial right now. Sports is trivial right now. And we get it. You know, there's been other instances where, you know, we've run into the same thing where we have to do a certain job, but it feels odd sort of doing it because it is so trivial. I will say this, that if we can be an escape for half an hour, we hope that, you know, that helps in some small way, shape or form. And, you know, I mean, one other thing I'll also say is, man, we just got to love each other. We had LaDainian Tomlinson on my Sirius XM show yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard it, you can go and check it out on demand. Marcus, Eddie, I'll tell you right now, I had goosebumps and I was almost in tears listening to him. Number one, LT is one of my favorite people on the planet. And just his words were emotional and inspirational and just really put sort of, it's hard for me to talk about it because it was so inspiring to me. All I want for people out there is to just love one another. Let's get through this. Don't see color. See good and bad. That's what I feel like is so important, because there's good people, there's bad people, regardless of race, religion, gender, whatever the case may be. Just be one of those good people, and the good people will rise and get through this together.
Yeah, I think that's the important part, is that this does have an end to it, even though I think sometimes it's hard to see. There is an end to it. I know that for folks who are out there and struggling in one way or another, just, you know, find support, be strong. So, All right. It's always weird sort of transitioning from something like that to fantasy football, but here we go. There was a conversation that you and I had, Fabs, on the show a couple of weeks ago. It just was kind of a spontaneous thing. And, you know, you and I were talking about what the season is going to be like, knowing that, you know, the coronavirus is still going to be with us. It's not just going to be gone by September. We know that. And what this is going to mean for fantasy football. And it was something you and I sort of just kicked around just briefly. And then I had somebody I mentioned, Dana Benefiel, who tweeted me asking sort of about this thing and how to do, you know, how we will sort of adjust fantasy-wise, understanding, you know, he prefaced it, obviously, understanding that down the list of priorities in America and the world, like how we organize our fantasy football leagues is near the bottom. But for those of us who play, it is something worth talking about. I mean, you and I obviously both play in a lot of fantasy leagues. You are the commissioner, I know, of a lot of fantasy leagues. And as we sort of enter this new world, I felt like this might be a good time for us to kind of dive in and talk about what changes, what rules we might need to come up with to sort of fit the new world. So I went through and picked, you know, several different categories. And if you end up, you know, coming up with some rule changes, I certainly would love to hear them. And for those of you listening, if you have any suggestions, any ideas, I mean, I feel like this should be a much bigger conversation beyond just the two of us, because there are a lot of smart people doing this. Mm-hmm. And it would be great to hear from them. So the first thing, Faz, and I think we talked about this, is I can't imagine that we could survive with these same roster size, right? I mean, we're in a situation where if a player or players test positive at some point during the season, they're going to have to be quarantined for 14 days at minimum. Mm-hmm. That means that we are going to have deeper rosters, right? Like, there's just no way. I mean, unless, you know, I know some leagues have deep rosters, but generally speaking, I feel like the maybe the first thing we do is talk about expanding roster size for a lot of leagues.
No doubt about that. So if you're in a league where your draft is 15 rounds, you know, maybe you increase it out to 18 or 20. And like for me, I like deeper rosters anyways, mm-hmm. because I don't love being in leagues where really good players are still available on the waiver wire, right? Because I want my fantasy to mirror reality as much as possible. And let's be honest, you know, like Kirk Cousins is not going to be on the waiver wire in reality. So I feel like making your rosters a little bit bigger makes sense regardless. And I also, and you know this, I have been, I love having an IR spot. I've been a proponent mm-hmm. for that for a long time. It's not fair. If a player gets hurt, like for example, a few years ago, like David Johnson, right? I mean, ultimately he ended up missing, you know, the entire season, but you know, if there was ever a chance that DJ would have come back late in the year, well, it would be really hard to hold him on your bench the entire season, because you need that spot. So you add reserve spots, and we do have those on NFL.com. I'm sure there's other platforms that have that as well. And this way, if a guy gets placed on the injured list, if he is designated as suspended, there are some other designations as well that NFL fantasy will have for players, depending on their situation, that you can actually put a guy. Now, if he's questionable, or, you know, if he's doubtful, you know, or if he's out like in a week, I don't know that you can put a player in the spot in those cases, but right. Injured list, suspension, exempt list, you know, that kind of stuff. You can put those guys in those spots. And I feel like that makes more sense. It's closer to reality. And it also doesn't force you to basically eat up a bench spot, which can be very valuable in your leagues.
Yeah. I like I said, I know you are big on the IR spots. I think mm-hmm. I would be interested to see if leagues either add them that don't have them, or ones that do add more, just because, and do we make a COVID exception for that, right? Do you allow players, do you allow fantasy managers, you know, say maybe one guy, if one guy tests positive, you can put that guy in an IR spot and allow him to be there for those 14, 21, whatever, however many days before you bring him back. Because look, I mean, I guess part of what is difficult about this is there is no rhyme or reason to it, right? I mean, I think when we look at just traditional injuries, you can sort of say, look, running backs tend to take more of a pounding, right? So running backs tend to get hurt more often. Wide receivers, for instance, maybe they suffer soft tissue injuries more, so you have to deal with hamstrings and calf muscles. Quarterbacks, you know, again, they take a lot of hits. This doesn't, there's no rhyme or reason to it, right? I mean, anybody can catch this virus at any time. And I think that's gonna sort of put us on the defensive in terms of trying to build rosters and keep rosters full.
Yeah.
So that leads me actually to the next thing, is draft strategies. Do you change? Have you thought about how you maybe draft differently to build your roster, knowing that you could lose a frontline guy anytime?
So first off, and we would have to talk to, you know, our pal Michael Koval, who is, you know, one of the best in the business in terms of the product at NFL.com. Can we actually, and will there be a designation for players who do contract COVID.
Right.
That's possible.
Right.
That could potentially be in, you know, inserted into the NFL.com product or, you know, other products, whatever you might play on any platform. And if that's not possible, and it can't happen, then maybe commissioners need to designate one bench spot. So if your roster is 20 players and then you've got four injured list spots, maybe it's 21 players. And that 21st roster spot on the bench is just empty unless someone contracts COVID, and then you can put them there. And then you can add another player. That would mean a little more work for the commissioner to make sure that, you know, people aren't adding more players than they're allowed on their bench. But that's a possibility. In terms of draft strategies, handcuffing your running backs, it all depends on like sort of who you are and what your opinion is. If I draft Dalvin Cook, I want Alexander Mattison. If I draft Ezekiel Elliott, I want Tony Pollard. Okay. If I draft Josh Jacobs, I don't necessarily need Jalen Richard because I don't know that he would even be the guy who would end up seeing most of the touches in that backfield because it's likely to end up being a committee situation. If I have Todd Gurley, I mean, maybe I draft Ito Smith, maybe.
Right.
If I draft David Johnson, I definitely want Duke Johnson. So it's all sort of relative, right? We all sort of have to look at what the scenarios are. Are these players otherwise durable? If you draft Derrick Henry, is drafting Darrington Evans a must?
Right.
Not if you're able to draft a team that has backfield depth and, you know, your fifth running back, say, for example, is a guy who may end up playing a bigger role. Like maybe it's a Boston Scott or, you know, maybe it's a Chris Thompson who could end up having some standalone value as a flex starter during the season.
You know, I think what is going to sort of be, I don't know how this weird, interesting is that in the past, we always groan when we hear about a team going to a running back committee, right? When we hear about two or three guys that are going to share snaps and share touches, suddenly, maybe it's not so bad. Look, you always want the guy who's going to start and who's going to play the most. But suddenly ending up, you know, if you don't get Nick Chubb and suddenly you get Kareem Hunt, you know, just because in an instant things can change, maybe even more so than normal, and Kareem Hunt could end up being that frontline guy. I feel like, you know, running back committees, this is a year maybe it's a sort of lean into committees a little bit and understanding that, you know, guys are going to get more options potentially than they normally would in a regular year. I also wonder, look, I know that in a lot of leagues, I only draft one quarterback and I only draft one tight end just because it doesn't make sense to use a roster spot on a guy that's barely ever going to play that you could probably pluck off the waiver wire. But it feels like this might be a year where I have to change that up. And maybe I go get a second tight end or I go get a second quarterback in the event that something happens, just kind of as that insurance. Or is that overreacting a little bit?
No, I don't think so. And also keep in mind too, you can switch from individual players at the quarterback position, team quarterback. So, and, you know, not in every instance is that a good thing, right? I mean, like, you know, if you have Drew Brees and suddenly he goes down Jameis Winston, and hell yeah, dude, that's good. If you have Dak Prescott and suddenly he goes down and you have Andy Dalton, you know, then that's pretty good. You know, there's other instances like in Detroit last year, if you had Matt Stafford and then you have David Blau, and then it's good, right? I mean, so it all depends, but the way that I look at it is when I come out of a draft, and if I'm in a typical NFL.com draft and I have 15 players on my roster, I want five running backs, five wide receivers. And then it's one kicker and one defense, because if you have any more of either, it makes no sense whatsoever unless you're in a best ball league. But it really depends on who my number one is, right? So I'll give you an example. If my number one quarterback is Dak or Kyler or Deshaun or, you know, Lamar or Mahomes or Russell or Josh Allen or maybe Drew Brees, and I feel pretty good about the fact that I'm not playing anybody else but those quarterbacks every single week outside of injuries and bye weeks, then I'm not going to draft a second quarterback. If I am in a position at tight end where, you know, I got Zach Ertz, or, you know, I got a guy, you know, like Hunter Henry or somebody like Darren Waller or Mark Andrews, or of course, Kelce and Kittle, I'm not drafting a second tight end because I'm not going to use him.
Right.
In that case, maybe I go after the second quarterback. But if I have Austin Hooper, or if I have Jared Cook, and I'm like, I mean, they're okay. Like, they're back in tight end ones, but maybe they're not going to be as consistent as I would like. So then I go out and get an upside guy like Hayden Hurst, or I get a Mike Gesicki. It really depends on sort of who your starter is going to be when you're in that draft at each of those positions, at least for me, to decide whether or not I draft a second player or not.
One of the things that, as you were talking, you mentioned, you know, and I know this about you. You like to have balance on your roster, right?
Yes.
You don't want to go heavy on wide receiver or heavy on running back or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe this is definitely a year to especially follow that. I feel like especially trying to go light maybe on running back to get more wide receivers, because again, if you have a guy that ends up having to sit for any reason, you somehow are going to be shorthanded. And especially I think at running back, Fabs, because after you know, somewhere middle of tier two, I mean, there's just a major drop off when you talk about that running back position. And if you end up shorthanded, you could end up getting really screwed trying to find some help off
of it. I mean, listen, we have a dynasty league, right, that I've been running for like ever. Mm-hmm. I actually got to get on that draft, by the way. We got to start talking about everything that's been going on, man. I'm just behind on thinking about any kind of dynasty draft at this point. Luckily, we don't have any crunch for time there. But so you may want to extend your rosters out to having 20 players, and then you add in the injured spots, right? Because, and again, for people out there who play fantasy football for fun and they like to see really good names on the waiver wire, I understand. I get it. Just keep in mind that if you're in that situation and your league decides to go in that direction, that you may end up having a player who's very prominent who may contract COVID. And then suddenly, you know what, you're maybe not first or second in line on the waiver wire, and you're going to lose him. You're not going to get him because somebody else is going to be smart enough to grab that player. So, for example, again, regardless of what the case may be, if you're in a 10-team league and Dalvin Cook is on your roster and suddenly he goes down with whatever, you know, it is, an injury, you know, God forbid, a COVID situation, and Alexander Mattison's on the waiver wire, chances are you're probably not going to get him unless your team's bad and you have waiver priority. When you have bigger rosters, you don't really have to worry about that, because either you're going to have gotten Madison or you're going to have depth position to sort of help you along a little bit and sort of maybe it's like putting a Band-Aid on a leak in the
right
in the Hoover Dam, but at least it's going to help you at least somewhat.
Yeah, I think that's probably a wise way to go. And so that leads me next to how we handle transactions, right? I've played in leagues, I'm sure you have too, where there are limits on the number of transactions you can make, you know, free agent pickups and what have you in the course of a season. I would think that this year, either you have to extend, you have to increase whatever those limits are, or maybe just eliminate them altogether, because this feels like a year where more than ever, people are really going to be forced to potentially play the waiver wire. And it seems limiting to, I mean, no pun intended. I mean, it is limiting to only have X number of transactions, knowing that there's a very good chance everybody's going to have to go over that.
Right. So for me, I don't like having transaction limits. You know, it's not like daily in like fantasy baseball where people will try to stream, you know, every starter, no matter if he's any good or not, because the matchup is favorable. Like, and I've been in leagues like that. So I've sort of, as a commissioner, put in limits in terms of how many games a team can start every single week at pitcher. But if you increase your roster size, then maybe you don't have to, increase or eliminate transaction limits, because, well, there's not going to be as many free agents that are really very good.
Are worthwhile,
But if you continue to keep your rosters at the same size they've been in the past, then yeah, Marcus, then, you know, that could potentially make sense. Maybe you eliminate them. Maybe you increase in terms of transaction limits. Me, the only things that I don't like with transaction limits, and I think some of the products out there, including NFL.com, have sort of a solution to that, is when people will try and pick up and drop players just so other teams can't get them.
Right.
And now many products have if you add and drop a player within a 24-hour period, then that player just is still first come, first serve. I believe NFL.com is like that. So, but those are situations where people are kind of being sort of jerks about the whole thing. But I feel like if you increase the roster size, maybe you don't have to increase your transaction limits, but if you continue to stay status quo, it makes sense. Yes.
Do you increase fab budgets, or do you just tell people to be smarter about how they bid?
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to increase fab budgets. And honestly, like, I think I'm in the minority in this. Mm-hmm. I like traditional fantasy. Like, I'm in leagues, of course, where, you know, you bid, and a lot of people really like that. because you can go after the players that you want. I mean, I've done that in the past, and I like being in, you know, maybe one or two of those leagues. I'm more of a traditional guy where I like just the traditional waivers to run and go from there. There's an argument to be made for increasing fab budgets. Again, if you don't increase your roster sizes, because there's potentially going to be more transactions on the waiver wire than normal because of this COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, it's funny. I will admit I've been in plenty of leagues with fab budgets. I feel like I can never accurately assess like how much I should bid on a guy, right?
Like, I always overbid, man. I got nothing left.
Either I severely overbid or I severely underbid. Like, I feel like I'm never like kind of on par with everybody else. So I admit that is a blind spot for me. So that's my own thing.
You know, sometimes it works out and sometimes you get burned. Like, right. There's certain times where you're in a scenario where you think a player is going to miss extended time due to injuries. And then suddenly you're like, oh, man, I got to go pick up this guy.
Right.
And then, you know, the player comes back a week or two early and you're like, I just spent all my money on 2 weeks of Bo Scarborough. Right. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, that was one. That one hurt a lot of folks last year, the Bo Scarborough thing. Any thoughts to maybe extending trade deadlines, too? Because as people are trying to, you know, build rosters and try to, you know, prepare for the unexpected, is it worth maybe pushing back the trade deadline a week or two to give people extra time to kind of add players there?
So in the leagues that I run, I typically pick like the earliest trade deadline option, which is, you know, somewhere in November. There are leagues that extend trade deadlines all the way to like the end of the month and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then there's others where there's just trade deadlines that don't even exist. I don't like to allow owners to make trades like a week or two before the playoffs.
Right.
Because you know what happens then, Marcus? You get into scenarios where, and I don't like vetoing trades, and typically I don't, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, unless you trade Patrick Mahomes for, you know, Rashad Higgins.
Bo Scarborough.
Right. Like I'm not gonna say no, because like it's just not fair. If there's obvious collusion, I get it. But I can also understand the argument, right? So say that you are right now the 5 or 6 seed. Going into the playoffs, you've got a week left before the regular season is over. And then you make a trade with a team that is out. Like they have no chance to make the playoffs. They're done. And this isn't a dynasty league. It's not a keeper league. There's no moves or transactions being made for future considerations. And then those two teams make a trade and it's like kind of what?
Right.
What? It's you know, it's not like baseball when a team is just tanking and they're trying to gain you know, good minor league players for the future from another team. Of course, the Yankees, you know, they've been doing that forever, where you know they grab veterans for minor leaguers to try and make that playoff run. So in that case, that's kind of why I don't like having that trade deadline too close to the to the start of the playoffs, because then I feel like you get in a little bit of a gray area, and then people get pissed because, you know, this guy who's on the place to make the playoffs made a trade with this guy who's got 2 wins all season long, and it's BS. And then you end up with headaches as a commissioner.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, I'm just, like I said, I think this is just kind of a chance to spitball and kind of experiment with some things.
Yeah, no doubt.
All
these are great topics.
Yeah. So then the last thing I got here is in terms of scheduling, and I guess do you consider opening the playoffs to more teams? I know in a lot of leagues, you're already talking about 6 teams in the playoffs. And if you're talking about, you know, 6 out of 10, even 6 out of 12, that's half. So maybe it doesn't make sense. But I think in leagues where you have a 4-team playoff, maybe this is the time to open it up to 6, just because I expect there to be a lot more volatility with teams, with rosters and within leagues. And so maybe this is a chance to kind of expand the playoffs a little bit this year.
If you're in bigger leagues, I can see it. You know, even in 14 team leagues, I'd probably just rather have 6. But if you're in 10 or 12, or, you know, some people play in 8, like, I mean, you can't
There's
have
no point, no.
You can't have, half, you know, right. Exactly. Right. So you can't have more than half the league making the playoffs, because that kind of defeats the whole purpose. I'm not a fan of like where only 4 teams make the playoffs, because fantasy football at the end of the day, Marcus, as competitive as it is, like we want to have fun too. So like you want to have a shot in a 12 team league, you know, to make the playoffs as a 5 or a 6 seed, rather than, you know, give it to the top 4 teams. Some competitive people out there who are in competitive leagues may disagree and think, hey, if you're not good enough to be in the top 4, you don't deserve it. I get that. But for me, fantasy football is all about having fun. And, you know, typically the 2 teams that are the top seeds get a bye anyway. So regardless, it doesn't matter. They're going to be in the second round of the playoffs. So I like the 6 teams. You know, I mean, even in the 10 team league, I guess like a lot of people playing in 10 team leagues are having fun. So it's more than half of the teams that make it. Okay. Get it. you know, but if you're in a 12 team, I say six. If you're in a 14, I say six. Even in a 10 team, I can see four teams as well. But as you go deeper in terms of how many teams are in leagues, I mean, and I get texts and tweets about 16, 18, 20 team leagues. God bless you guys.
Insane. Right.
Then maybe you add a couple of teams to the playoffs. I mean, like everybody in real sports is doing it. I mean, the NFL is going to do it. You know, Major League Baseball wants to do it. But only do it where it makes sense. You don't want 80% of your league base to make the playoffs. Why am I playing a regular season?
Although it does mean that you get to really point and laugh at the people who didn't make the playoffs.
Oh my gosh! Too, right? Yeah. those people. Yes, those people should have to sit outside a major street with a big sign that says, "I missed the playoffs in a team where 80% make it."
Right. Right. Like seriously, we let everybody in and somehow you didn't make it. Like you deserve to be mocked by your friends and peers. So, yeah. I don't know. Those are just the ones that I came up with. I don't know if you've thought about this, if you have any other like things you'd like to experiment with, because I feel like this is the time. If we're going to get weird, this is the time to get weird with fans.
So, yeah. So I think the team QB concept makes sense. Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of your league as well. I mean, right. So because again, as I mentioned, if every team in the National Football League had a really good backup, you know, maybe things would be different.
Right.
But when you look down the list, well, okay. I mean, if you have, say, for example, Nick Foles, is Mitchell Trubisky really a good backup? I guess he is, assuming that Foles ends up being the starter. So it really depends. It really depends. I mean, like, you know, the backup in Jacksonville is Mike Glennon. So if you have, you know, Gardner Minshew and something unfortunate happens to him, Mike Glennon's going to be your quarterback. That's no bueno. So that all depends on roster size and sort of, you know, the experience that people have in the league. Is it a league that you're just kind of having fun with? Is it a more serious league? How active are people on the waiver wire? Should a quarterback go down and the backup actually is going to have some value? Now, if you're in two QB leagues or if you're in super flex leagues, then maybe it makes even more sense, Marcus, right? Because there ain't going to be any quarterbacks on the waiver wire in those leagues. And if they are, they're going to be bottom of the barrel. Like, I mean, Taysom Hill's going to be a freaking he's not going to be a free agent in a lot of those leagues.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he's a backup and unlikely to – he's third string. But he's going to play because he's more than just a quarterback. So
right. In
those kind of leagues, maybe it makes a little bit more sense. But I really feel like adding more roster spots – and who knows, Marcus, maybe people will add more roster spots and dig it and think, you know what?
This is how we should play.
Right. This is what we're going to do the rest of the time that we're going to be playing in this league, because there shouldn't be really, really good players on the waiver wire. Honestly, there shouldn't be. Like, if you want to mirror real NFL, you shouldn't have guys like that on the waiver wire. So and I like my fantasy to be as real as possible. And so that's why a lot of my leagues and most of my leagues where I'm not playing with kind of family and friends, like the rosters are big.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the biggest thing to this, right? Like, obviously, we're talking about rules changes in the context of what happens with a virus that could take players out for who knows mm-hmm. how long. But I think in the end, it's also maybe just creating ways to enjoy this game more, because like you said, Fabs, we're doing this because we're trying to have fun. Right. We're just trying to, you know, add something to our football watching experience. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you hit on something, you and your friends and your league mates hit on something that you like, and that is worth doing. So yeah, again, I think, like I said, if there's ever a year to play around with things, this is the one to do it. You know, I would suggest, you know, putting up to a vote of your league mates, you know,
yeah,
like,
certainly, yeah.
like getting, yeah. getting their opinion, their input on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
But like I said, for those of you listening, if you guys have any suggestions, we'd certainly love to hear them. You can obviously hit us up on Twitter. And you know, I think especially when we get a little further into the summer, I think it's definitely worth having a bigger conversation on. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. One other housekeeping note before we go. Mock drafts are currently open on the NFL Fantasy desktop product. I know, talking with some of the development folks, they had a couple of glitches on the app they are working on. So they're hoping that mock drafts on the app will be open very, very soon. But you can go to, you know, fantasy.nfl.com. You go to the draft center and mock drafts are open there. So you can kind of get your mock draft on and practice. And then once they're open on the app, we'll let you know, and you can do that there, because I know, Fabs, I sit around sometimes in the evenings when I have nothing going on and, you know, I'll break out a mock draft or two just to get those reps in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. All right. We all need reps, man.
All need reps.
We got those reps. I'll tell you that that I've been doing, you know, some best ball mocks, and I've been doing some regular mocks and doing some stuff with the folks at SiriusXM. And like, but I tell you, it's funny how values change, like with the whole Jonathan Taylor situation. Like exactly, like that's the one where like he got drafted and everyone was all over him. Oh my God, he is going to be awesome, and he's going to be the featured back, and this is going to be great. And then several weeks later, Frank Reich comes out and say, I could see Nyheim Hines catching 10 passes in a game. And then a couple of weeks later, he says, yeah, I have a lot of this respect for Marlon Mack. It's right. going to be a 1-1 punch. And then, you know, you got those shares of Jonathan Taylor that you have after the draft, and you were doing best ball. So you're like, no, nope. Kind of like Darth Vader in Revenge of the Sith.
Yep.
So, but I mean, that's why it's good to sort of see what the trends are. Because that you're seeing that with a lot of players like Clyde Edwards-Helaire after he got drafted. Oh my God, he has a second round pick. This guy's, you know, top 10 running back. All right, tap the brakes now a little bit. He's good, maybe worth a third round pick, but you know, I don't think he's going to be Brian Westbrook just yet.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I think that's been interesting because the rookies, because there is so much uncertainty, have been, I think their values have swung wildly all over the place. I mean, you mentioned Edwards-Helaire, and you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, even a guy like DeAndre Swift. You know, I've seen Kerryon go maybe just a couple picks before or after Swift, because, you know, right now we're still trying to figure this whole thing out.
And also keep this in mind too. So, you know, I've talked to Austin Eckler about this. I've talked to other NFL players about this. Players can't go to facilities until training camp starts.
Right.
Until it starts, which means guys like Tom Brady, you know, guys like Nick Foles, guys like Todd Gurley, although I think that's to a lesser degree because running back is, hey, hand me the ball. I'm going to run. Throw it to me. I'm good. Right. So these guys don't have the offseason. And some of them are getting together. I'm sure, you know, privately we've saw Tom Brady do that with some of the players in Tampa Bay, and some of his teammates. But like ultimately – these guys are going to go into at least the end of July, Marcus, and not have really done much together. Certainly not with the coaches.
Right.
Rookie quarterbacks coming in, you know, like Joe Burrow's going to be the guy in Cincinnati. At some point, Justin Herbert's going to be the guy in Los Angeles. Potentially at some point, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the guy in Miami. Not having a rapport with their wide receivers and their tight ends and seeing how the offense works and learning new offenses and learning new tendencies and gaining rapport. So I remember talking to Austin, and he had said, I wouldn't be surprised if the start of the season statistically is a little bit slow. Oh,
it's going to be sloppy.
Because guys are going to be getting acclimated to one another. And also, as much as we like to see these guys out there working out, and a lot of these guys are in ridiculous shape, it makes me embarrassed to be a man because those guys are just like physical specimens. I don't know if everybody's doing that. I don't know if everybody's sitting, you know, some guys might be sitting back eating McDonald's. I don't know. Like, so some guys might not be in the best shape either. That's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, yeah, every week seems like something new is happening as we're all sort of learning all this together.
Yeah. To 2012, you can go straight to HE double hockey sticks, by the way. I'm done. And then there's a report that I like this too. Oh, there's a meteor or a comet coming, you know, close to the Earth.
Sweet.
Well, of course there is. It's 2020. I mean, of course there is.
Whatever, man.
Marcus, I'm waiting for the locusts, man. Like, I'm just waiting for the skies to just like start dropping bugs on us. I mean, geez,
we had the murder hornets about a month ago that were coming through. I feel like the meteor is not a big deal. We can just send Ben Affleck and crew up there, and they can take care of that. You know,
apparently they say it might skim the Earth's atmosphere, but like,
I feel like that part, we seem to have a plan. Michael Bay has a plan for that. So we can send Ben Affleck up there.
There you go. Yeah. Yep.
All right. I feel like that's a good note to get out of here on. Right. That is it. We are done. We appreciate you listening and downloading and watching and all of that. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, hug your people, because in the end, we're all we got. Take care of yourselves, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Be safe, everybody.